We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Well, number one is it's number 15's 25th birthday.
Lining up to the far side of the field. Ball will be on the right hash. Oakland sends four on the rush. They drop seven. Mahomes deep. He wants McCole Hardman in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. There's your third and 20 play. A deep post to McCole Hardman for his first National Football League touchdown.
Playing 25 touchdown calls on
the
25th
birthday.
Yeah, we
still
got 17 to go.
We are behind. I try to play a second. It's fine. We'll get to another one later. We got 17 more to go.
Okay. A lot coming your way in the 1 o'clock hour. Yeah. By the way, Michael Vick is going to join the drive this afternoon to talk a lot about Patrick Mahomes. You don't want to miss that today from 2 to 6.
Number two for what's training. The Royals win 4-0 last night. That was behind a second consecutive shutout start from Brady Singer. He didn't go over 8 innings this time, but instead found himself getting 6 scoreless innings. Pitch efficient, by the way. So essentially over those 2 starts, he works out to be about perfect. Brady Singer, one of very few pitchers in Major League history to go back-to-back starts of 6 or more innings, of 8 of more strikeouts, and 2 or fewer hits. I know it's a baseball stat, but the point is Brady Singer looked terrific last night as he carries his momentum into the rest of this season and going into next year for Kansas City.
I love that from last night, and you're right, he never missed a beat. The confidence that he got from last go-around where he nearly had the no-hitter carries over 14 scoreless innings for him. He's fantastic. And this is the positive part that you wanted to see at the end from whether it's Mondesi in the order, whether it's Bubich, Singer, Keller. This team may be out of the hunt for the playoffs, but if they're going to win games down the stretch, win it with the guys that are going to be, win it with those guys that are going to be here for the future, and certainly Brady Singer, a big part of that. Next up, updates across the National Football League on stadiums that are going to have fans moving forward. The Texans working towards having up to 15,000 fans by week 4. The Colts going from 2,500 fans in week 2 to 7,500 in week 3. The Titans are going to have 10% capacity and then scale up from there. We know the Chiefs had the most fans over the weekend. In news today, the Chiefs did have one guest who tested positive for COVID-19. The guests attended the Thursday night game out at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs working with the Kansas City Health Department to get more of the relevant information available there. The Chiefs, in a statement, did mention that the individual and the individual group were seated in the lower level of the stadium by design. The stadium's protocol plan limited potential exposure to that single seating zone. So 10 people have been quarantined at this point in time out of precaution.
They said compliance and protocols remain key to keep this plan effective. So if you want people out in the stadium, we'll do that. We'll see if anything comes out of that. It's really, one person showing up or somebody being in a Chiefs game with COVID doesn't surprise me. It's do they contain everything outside of that using their protocols?
Absolutely. And the Chiefs did include in that statement that they went back and looked at, video evidence, essentially, of the fan entering. And the fan was compliant, had the mask on. So that's very important also to make sure people continue to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice that they can backtrack it. So few fans there right
that's
now.
That's the key, being able to trace it, man.
That does make it hard to ramp up, though, because you talk about 70,000 people. It's a lot harder, to track that thing down. Not that I think Kansas City's
ever getting done. It's a good thing there's a gap between the home games.
70,000 people in the stadium. Yeah, absolutely. Good thing there's a gap. Number 4 for what's trending, Kansas Speedway will host a limited number of fans for their event as well, their upcoming NASCAR Cup Series, Hollywood Casino 400. According to enhanced safety measures on October 18th, they promise to provide, or at least are hoping to provide, a safe experience. But again, more fans at, we know that there's fans heading to the NFL games. We know that there are fans at the NFL games, including the Chiefs, and now they'll have some out at Kansas Speedway for the Hollywood 400 on October 18th.
Remember, NASCAR, I mean, go way back. They were the first sport that this kind of, after they took a pause, picked it back up. Yep. And we're starting to see fans not surprised to see that everything's moving forward in that direction. Next up, well, another golf major is underway, the U.S. Open. Patrick Reed tied for first with Justin Thomas, 4-under through each of their days today. Rory McIlroy in third place. Earlier today, Tiger Woods did tee off, and I just lost track of that. I apologize. The Tiger Woods sitting at 1-over through 17.
Someone tied for 31st. 65 today, so.
Ooh, well, Patrick Reed.
That's a low round.
Patrick Reed had a hole-in-one. He's top of the leaderboard, and he had a hole-in-one today.
That's a low round at a U.S. Open.
No doubt.
Next up on What's Trending, it's still Patrick Mahomes' birthday.
Just underway second quarter. Four-man rush. Mahomes in trouble again. Spinning right. Left. Now turning back to the right. He'll sprint. And fires it late for the end zone. Caught a yard deep in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
16 more to go. Patrick Mahomes' birthday touchdowns. 25 for 25, my friend. Really, next up on What's Trending, Danny Duffy will be back in the rotation on Friday after missing a start due to a team violation and missing the flight earlier this week. It'll be Keller and Bubic over the weekend as well.
Yeah, nice to see that work out that way. It tells you the Royals, as we heard from Vern, you feel like they feel comfortable about what occurred there. Nothing to be concerned about in terms of other information coming out that might change the narrative around it. So it seems like organizationally and Danny Duff, everybody moving on from it, no reason not to feel comfortable to do that. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold as we go now inside the huddle, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll check in with Paul Charchian, Charch of GuillotineLeagues.com. We'll get his perspective on fantasy football week 2, maybe who's in play tonight, if anybody, between the Browns and the Bengals. Plus, we'll ask him what he thinks about our bidding system, where I got certified by $2 for DJ Sharks. We'll have some fun with that. Our NFL Survivor picks still coming up in about 10 minutes or so, and it's a busy show today. We're still expected to head back out to Arrowhead and hear from Frank Clark. But you mentioned it. It's number 15's 25th birthday. No rap today? I'm told you have a birthday song for Patrick Mahomes.
Let's call it a little of both, shall we?
Whoa.
I neglected. Oh, you guys took off the end of a week the other week, and I thought, I was going to do a song, and then I didn't feel like the whole show was here. And then I got busy, and I forgot. So I felt like I owed it to the world to debut a third song here on Cody and Gold. Third song in like a month and a half. This feels right. The people were clamoring, and they wanted it gold.
Is this better than the second, the one we heard?
You can be the judge of that. I'm not the judge of that.
What's your feeling?
I think it's the middle one. Okay. I still think the first one might be the best. The first 25 seconds of this absolutely slap.
The question is
where it goes beyond that, and if I hold it together well enough, as it was a little more loosey-goosey in the lyrical writing game beyond that. But please, the very beginning, this is worth it. It's his birthday, so I felt the need to write him another birthday song. On behalf, by the way, of all of this. This reflects on you.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Patrick. It's your birthday. We didn't forget. This is your song from Cody and Gold. Just 25 years old and on top of the world. He's the number one quarterback that ever twirled. He's an MVP with a Super Bowl and already got KC with his heart he stole. He's Patrick. Happy birthday, Patrick. Enjoy your birthday, Patrick. Eat some cake, Patrick. Talk to my man, Big Swing.
That's the king, the MVP, the ghost rider of Arrowhead Pride. Big Sween dropping in for two truths and a lie.
We're sorry we forgot a present, even when you got us a ring. But we love KC, will always be the place that you do your thing. Happy birthday, Patrick Mahomes. Happy birthday, Patrick. Happy birthday, Patrick. It's your birthday, Patrick. Eat some cake, Patrick. Have a happy birthday, Patrick. Happy birthday. The fade out, man. Got to drop back to the 60s. That's it.
Well done.
That's it.
I will give you plenty of credit on this one. It was great. Honestly, it was great until Pete Sweeney got involved in it, honestly.
Ouch!
It really was.
You can talk to Pete about that tomorrow.
We're going to have to. Oh, my goodness. Did you say, is Frank good to go? Is that what you said? No, okay. I thought, well, we can't. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Let that soak in for a minute.
That was better. That was a lot better. Let's get a quick break and let everybody soak that one in for a little bit. We'll come back expecting to hear from Frank Clark and more on Cody's birthday song.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
And the Chiefs shift Williams to the right. They have Kelce, Conley, Hill all left. So 2x3 as we view it right to left. In the empty backfield, Mahomes steps up down the middle of the field. Caught by Kelce! Touchdown, Kansas City! A perfect low post throw. Kelce's in the end zone for the second time in this game, and the Chiefs are back on the board after a second quarter absence.
Still got 15 more touchdowns
for Patrick Mahomes on his 25th birthday, counting down 25 touchdowns. We'll head out to Arrowhead here momentarily. You'll hear from Frank Clark on your official Chiefs radio partner, 610 Sports Radio. Also, Paul Charchian of GuillotineLinks.com going to join us for our weekly conversation with him. But it is time. Week 2. NFL Survivor picks here. 610. We are all 1-0, or we have
only
all
our, undefeated show here, fellas.
All our teams are still available. It's double elimination in our Survivor League, brought to you by Own KC. Last week, CDOT, Fesco, Eagles pick, Colts pick, both had their one team eliminated. They're down to their final teams. The morning show went all with the Packers. Ryan, Bob, Josh, Packers versus Lions. Where are you going this week?
Last week, Serta said he was confused about who I was taking, and I didn't want him to think that maybe I was going a couple different ways. I don't know why I have to go first every week.
Okay,
that's fine.
No, it's fine.
I feel comfortable with it. I'm taking the Bucs.
Bucs against the Panthers.
I'm taking the Bucs. I don't think they're starting 0-2. I do still think that roster has too much talent.
Huh?
And you told me all last week why you choose the Raiders. The Panthers defense can't stop
Correct.
Anyone.
You're right.
So I don't think they'll stop Ronald Jones, and I don't think they'll stop Tom Brady. I think they go 1-1. I will take the Bucs for my Survivor pick this week. We going to same again?
I almost took the Bucs. I did think about it, but I'm going to go ahead and play it safe. I'm going with the team that's competing against the Jets again.
Ah.
It's the San Francisco 49ers, and now they're dealing with a lot of injuries right now, and George Kittle's questionable in this game. The Jets are so bad that I'm still fully confident San Francisco wins this game easily.
Thought about them as well. Fading the Jets is going to be a good proposition.
That's a good bet most weeks.
It is. I'm going to keep it going. You guys are going a little more on the conservative route. I'm going to keep the aggressive route. A little risk. You guys want to sweat with me tonight? Let's do it. Browns.
What?
Cleveland Browns. Week 2 Survivor pick. Last week, I went with the Raiders against the Panthers. Got crushed. Got crushed for the pick. It panned out. Today, even Rob Brenton from The Drive came in and was being critical of my Cleveland pick. That's up on the board too, Cody. So you guys can't be critical of the pick anymore. It worked last week. It's going to pay off again. Baker Mayfield.
I can still be critical of it.
6,000 fans are going to be in attendance tonight as well.
That's going to juice him up or something?
Absolutely. Cleveland looked terrible. I get it. But guess what? They were taking on the Baltimore Ravens.
He's playing with fire.
See, this is what I did last year.
Did it work for you week one?
It worked early on in the season until it didn't work because I got too confident in myself.
This is the last week where I'm probably going to go ultra conservative. I'm not going to have to do that majority of the weeks. I'm going to get Raiders and Browns first 2 weeks of Survivor League. I'll have the full arsenal of teams good to go the rest of the way while you guys have burned the Niners or some people the Ravens or the Packers or the Chiefs in Pete Sweeney's case as well. Yeah, there's a lot of risk involved tonight. Browns are 6-point favorites as well, which, by the way, they're just as big of favorites as the Packers are, and everybody's picking the Packers. So, no, I like both of your picks, but we're rolling the dice again. I recognize it. Make it 2 weeks in a row. Let's do it.
I can't believe
it. Told you, you pick me in the Survivor League. It's gonna be a stressful ride, but it's gonna be good for you.
It's gonna be fruitful.
Yeah.
Is your argument in the end? You're gonna feel so bad if the Bengals win tonight, man.
It's double elimination. Then I'll just roll with the big boys the rest of the way if I have to.
But. Yeah, you go heavy hitters for sure. I feel pretty good about mine. I never really considered the Packers much. Just a team I want to see a little bit more. I did consider the 49ers, sir. I like where your head's at there, but I feel pretty good.
The Niners get the Giants next week, though, man.
It does feel like I'm using a big boy kind of early by going Bucks because they got some bad teams on there. On their roster, or they got some bad teams on their schedule. But
text line says I'm a moron for picking the Browns. You said I was a moron last week for picking the Raiders. Hey, let's head right out to Arrowhead and hear from Frank Clark.
Let's start with Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Frank, what's up, man?
What's up, Sam? How you doing?
Good. Spags mentioned something on when we talked to him just a little bit ago about the fact that you were working off to the side, just on your get off. Can you kind of take me through that process and how long that's been. So, I mean, has that been an emphasis your entire career? Has that been something more recent that you've really tried to hone in on?
No, I've been working on my get off and just doing different stuff like that for my whole career. Really, I kind of picked up the habit back in the day. You know, I had a defensive coordinator in college, Greg Madison, and he kind of coached my position as well. He kind of taught me a lot of things just, you know, throughout the course of a practice, your hips get locked, your hips get tight from, you know, you being on the field working to in between reps and stuff like that. So I do stuff like that just to stay loose, constantly just training my mind, training my body, you know, that repetitive, you know, muscle memory, just getting off the bar and just staying on top of those things like that.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam. Try again, Adam.
Yeah, Frank, we good? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got
okay.
you.
I'm wearing this hat just for you today, by the way.
Oh, man, I said it's terrible.
You sure looked the other night like you feel better physically than maybe you did all of last season. Is that accurate? And or if you did eventually feel like you do now, was there a point maybe you can – a line where you can draw where, hey, this is where I started to feel this way last year, if that makes any sense?
Yes. That's true. You know, I am feeling better. You know, like I said, our staff here did a great job. And, you know, just me coming back in from our off season and just figuring out, you know, getting everything corrected, getting all my correctives and stuff like that in order so that I could start this season off fresher than I did last year. Also, you know, just getting through camp, you know, I started off camp a little sick, but, you know, was able to come back, you know, midway point and finish out camp strong and just get my feet under myself. And, you know, that was my goal, just to start this season healthier than I had started the past previous years. Man, you say dating back, 3 years ago, it seemed like I started every season with a different injury, you know, whether it was an elbow or, you know, whether it was a neck or whether it was, you know, this or that. It was just something different. And, you know, just to start this season off and, you know, continue to go into the week strong and continue to be out there with my guys. It's dope, man. You know, seeing the results and, you know, being able to just be out there and compete and, you know, talking my stuff like I do, man.
Let's go next to Harold Koontz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Frank, a few things for you. Tyrann Mathieu after the game said he was, quote, pissed off. You feel the kind of same way about that performance against Houston. Does that help you, especially with the rookies, when you're studying film and getting involved with them? Now that you have something tangible to look at, that you can help them, especially a guy like Tershawn Wharton. And also want to get your thoughts on Arrowhead Stadium now officially being a polling place, location, and what do you think of that?
Oh, man, you know, it's dope. You know, we encourage everybody to get out there and vote. That's one thing we've been kind of pushing since, you know, pushing the narrative on that since we've been back in the building. And, you know, more than ever now, you know, our each vote counts, but more than ever, you know, it's so important for us to get out there and vote and cast our ballot. But, pissed off, man, that's the word, man, because, you know, you pride yourself on stopping the run, finishing games strong as a defense. And I feel like we stopped the run for the most part. Let a few at the end of the game get away. Deshaun had a few scrambles, you know, as we was rushing the passer when the game was, you know, obviously in our hands. But, you know, it's just finishing games. You know, we give up 2 touchdowns, I believe, in the fourth quarter when the guys was, well, we had them held to 7 points at that point. And just finishing the game, finishing drives, not letting them those extended drives where you can get off the field, you know, on the first series, and then you get them, let it extended, then it stands to a touchdown, stuff like that. We had some good signs. No penalties on defense, stuff like that. So it was some good signs out there. It wasn't all bad. It wasn't as bad as I feel like, you know, last year. Whereas, you know, you get a team coming here in the Texans, and they obviously look way more prepared than us, and it just takes us having to fight and, you know, get it out the mud, basically, and to claw and scratch for a victory. And always going to be a competitive team. Got a great quarterback over there leading them, Deshaun Watson, the escape wizard of the NFL. You know what I'm saying? You know, like I said, it's just competition. Competition's at an all-time high right now, and you can see just coming out playing those guys first game. You can tell they wanted us.
Go next to Breland Moore. Go ahead, Breland. Breland, you got us? All right, we'll come back to you, Breland. Let's go to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Frank, I just have a general question for you. We know that you love to rush the passer and stuff the run, but how much pride do you take in your ability to drop back when that is the call?
I'm really a DB in my spare time. I tell my coaches stuff all the time, you know. Back in the day, I used to play a little bit of DB. So, you know, my hip's still good. I can still open up, you know, the hips, eyes, hands. That's what you need as a DB, you know. So, you know, my coaches, they gave me the verification, you know, let me know I had everything that checked out. And, you know, I got to work on my back pedal. So I'm going to get with T today after practice. I'm going to work on my back pedal a little bit and driving out of that. You know, it's all in my offhand jam. I got to work on my offhand jam a little bit. You know, it's tied in this week. Think he's going to run some routes on me.
Let's give Breeland a try again. Breeland, can you hear us now? Uh-oh. All right, Breeland's out. We're going to go to Sarin. Sorry, Breeland.
Frank, I'm just curious, get a player's perspective on this. The NFL released their testing numbers, and it's remarkable how low the positive tests are. I think it was two players this week out of, you know, all the thousands of tests that have been given, and even the support staff, the numbers are really low. Michigan, obviously, wasn't going to play football. Big Ten announced they're going to go back on October 24th. You've been through a big-time football program. I think Ed Orgeron said most of his players had tested positive. Why? What do you think is having lived through that, is the problem with college being so unsuccessful, where you guys in the NFL have been incredibly successful as far as avoiding the virus?
I mean, I feel like the biggest thing is, just like any other places, just, you know, how you control it after you leave, you know, the controlled environment. You know, you can be put into a place of work where, you know, they're doing an excellent job of making sure we're safe, making sure we're socially distanced. And, you know, you get outside of that, you go home, you want to go out to eat, go to restaurants, you want to go, you know, do different things like that, that are still open, that they might not be practicing their social distance efforts as aggressive at these places. So, you know, that's where you fall in line. You find guys getting into a little bit of, you know, of a situation there. You know, even with us, you know, we've been told, you know, just to kind of, you know, watch out how, you know, where we going out to eat at, you know, because you start to see as people get more relaxed with this, with the COVID stuff, you start to see seats get a little bit closer. You start to see people communicating a little bit more, you know, you start to see masks dropping and stuff when people are around each other. And, you know, that's where it's going to start, you know, and we'll never really be able to get a grasp of it until we all buy in. It's a team effort. You know, everything in life, you know, doesn't, you know, it's not just football, basketball, hockey, stuff like that. It involves a team. You know, it's stuff that's going on in our real world that involves a complete team effort as well.
Close it out with Karen Kornacki. Go ahead, Karen.
Frank, I just want to ask you about Tyrod Taylor. Usually you guys are used to seeing Phillip Rivers when you play the Chargers, but now you've got Tyrod, and when you see him with this particular offense, what are some of the things you've been noticing about him?
He's a veteran. So everything that, you know, he understands systems, he understands blitzes and schemes. And he's very familiar with, you know, of course, different players on our team. You know, I know I've played him when I was back in Seattle. I played him a few times when he was in Buffalo. Even now, he's with the Chargers. You know, he's always been known as an elusive quarterback. If you let him get on the run and, you know, allow him to get comfortable in the direction in which he's like throwing, you know, he's going to make some completions, he's going to make some big plays. You seen, what was it, last week, you watch on film, you watch from his pass, if you don't do a disciplined job rushing the passer on the edges, containing the passer on the inside, getting inside push up the middle and forcing him to bubble or forcing him to make tough decisions and tough throws over, you want him to force him to make those over the middle. You know, his strengths is throwing to the outside and really throwing, you know, throwing those quick routes and stuff over the middle. So, you know, it's going to be key for our inside and for our edges, our defensive line as a unit to, you know, keep them contained.
Frank, we really appreciate the time today. Thanks for joining us.
All right, that's Chiefs pass rusher Frank Clark out at Arrowhead.
I'm
speaking
just
to the media.
From Carrington.
Yeah, Carrington just opened the door and just stared you down after your rap. He was not impressed. Said it was worse than Paul George in Game 7.
Well, have him do it.
If you missed Cody's birthday song to Patrick Mahomes, that we'll bring that back to you around 1:45. Also, if you missed our conversation with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that's coming up at 1:30 again. Here shortly, we'll head out and check in with Paul Charchi and a little fantasy football there. But how about Frank Clark saying in his spare, you're joking around.
In DB in his spare time.
He says the DB's got to work on the back pedal. Let's go talk some fantasy football now. Into week two, we welcome in Paul Charchi. of GuillotineLeagues.com. And Charge, man, we got our first experience over at Guillotine Leagues with how the bidding was going to work. And I'll just say this.
Tell me about it.
$2 I beat out Serta for DJ Shark. I went with $77. He went $75. I said, you got to have the eBay strategy. Right. eBay strategy of bidding.
Yeah, I like it. Now, you know, the way it works is you still, it's not eBay in that you pay $1 more than the next
true,
biggest bid.
True.
You pay all of it no matter what you bid. So the fact that you got $2 off the next highest bid means you placed it basically perfectly. Now, I'm guessing DJ Chark was not the highest profile player.
No.
But, however, and there were probably some big money spent on some other guys.
Austin Eckler went for $300, Charge. Tell me that person's insane.
Austin Eckler in one of mine went for 600 out of 1,000.
I know.
And here's the extra part that makes that especially dangerous. Josh Kelly is totally legit, guys. You know, Josh Kelly got no carries in the first half. They give him a couple of carries in the second half, and he looks good. He ends up finishing the second half with 12 carries in the half, and 4 carries from inside the 10, and he scored a touchdown on one of them from 5 yards out. I think if you're an Austin Eckler owner, you are nervous right now because Kelly, you know, we always figured, okay, Austin Eckler's going to, his role expand into at least part of what Melvin Gordon left behind, but whoa. It might turn out that Josh Kelly's going to take all of Melvin Gordon's run from last year, and he might be better than Gordon and take more of it than Gordon did. So as optimistic as I was about Eckler, and Eckler's a great talent, I think there's a reason to be nervous about Austin Eckler right now.
Yeah, we're having a blast with it. Plenty of trash talk going. We had the guy that was eliminated his team on the show briefly for a few minutes in the 10 o'clock hour today.
Did you really?
Yeah, Eckler and Sharp. We let him come on to explain himself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you get eliminated, we welcome you on the show the next week. So, Charge, it is week two, though, man.
That's brilliant. I love it. You get to humiliate him on 3,000 watts of radio. I love it.
Yeah, no, we're having some fun with it. We're excited. We're enjoying it, and it all starts again on week two tonight. I mean, you look at both the Bengals and the Browns. I mean, tonight's game, both teams' running backs, Mixon and Chubb and Hunt. The strong starts for you tonight?
They all look like good starts. Let's start with the Browns side. Nick Chubb did basically nothing last week, but I think you want to dust them off here. Cincinnati's going to be without their two starting defensive tackles, Geno Atkins and Mike Kelly. And last week, the Bengals' run defense got rocked by Austin Eckler and Josh Kelly, as we mentioned, 155 yards for those two guys. So I think it's a nice opportunity for Nick Chubb. And Kareem Hunt actually got more work than Nick Chubb last week, set Browns highs for him in carries and rushing yards. I think he's startable here as well. And then on the other side, you mentioned Joe Mixon. In his two games against the Browns last year, 300 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 50 carries. 50 carries. So I Joe Mixon is a fine start here as well.
What about over the weekend? Michael Thomas, that obviously hurt. The team that finished second to last had Michael Thomas in the Guillotine League. But in most leagues, that's a danger. Is there worth one? What's his outlook? And what do you do in the meantime? Are there wide receivers worth picking up? Or do you just play heavy into their run game if you're lucky enough to have a guy in that grouping?
Yeah, so let's talk about Michael Thomas and why I'm worried. So this is high ankle sprains are typically a 4-week injury. Now, you can possibly grit it out and play on no rest or a week of rest, but then you end up doing what Saquon Barkley did last year. You guys remember Saquon's tepid season where he was, what do you think? Saquon Barkley was like 75% of his normal self or
probably
60%. Of his normal self, and that ended up being a disaster for fantasy owners. And so if Michael Thomas tries to play through the ankle sprain, I think he's just going to be a fraction of what he normally has to be. And of course, ankle is so important for, you know, wide receivers because you have to do all of your cutting on the ankle. So really, really tricky that way. But let me give you an even worse scenario. High ankle sprain's a 4-week injury, so they decide to rest him or maybe play him and then rest him. They got a week 6 bye coming.
Oof.
Cody, Alex, what if this thing? What if he's out for a month, and now it's like week 5, and they're looking at the week 6 bye, and they go, you know what? We're not going to mess with it. Michael Thomas has got a there's a chance he doesn't play until week 7.
Oh, yeah, that is.
I mean, that would have been that could have been your top pick in a PPR draft. I mean, you just don't.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I've
so safe. so safe, right? He's like, for the last 3 years, he's about the safest player you ever could have drafted. And now here it is week one, and Michael Thomas puts up a dud in week one and may not be available or will be playing, you know, playing injured for some time.
I'm talking to Charge here, Paul Charge and GuillotineLinks.com, and I got Michael Thomas and James Conner in another league. Does Benny Snell ever give that starting job back to James Conner, or am I in big, big trouble here?
I think you're in trouble. I mean, we know that if you just look at the history of Mike Tomlin, they want a workhorse back. They have tried everything possible to make James Conner into a workhorse back. He just can't do it. He made it a quarter and a half in the first week of the season, and he rolled in at 100% health. They have to, if they want a workhorse back like they've always wanted in the past, going back to Le'Veon Bell and earlier, Benny Snell's their guy. Here he is. He got a lot of run last week. If you go back to week 17 as well, so the last two Steelers games, Benny Snell over 200 rushing yards. He's good. Snell's just playing better. So I think Snell's going to take this job. Connor's going to turn into a change of pace guy, and Snell's not going to look back. This might be your last chance to acquire Benny Snell on the cheap.
Sometimes, Charge, it's hard to find the right quarterback. On top of it, Gold is going with the Bengals tonight. And our station-wide Survivor League.
Browns.
On the opposite end. Are the Browns in trouble? Is Joe Burrow ready for a breakout game? Is he a worthy guy of holding on to?
You know, I think so. I thought Burrow played okay in that first game. And it's not the kind of okay that filled up a box score, because he really didn't fill up a box score. But I thought he played pretty well. And part of the reason I like him is this is a bad The Browns secondary all beat up with injuries, and that's going to be a real factor here. If you look at guys like Greedy Williams out, Kevin Johnson out, those are the cornerbacks. Their linebacker, Mack Wilson, is out. The guy that would replace him, Jacob Phillips, out. And this is a really good opportunity for Joe Burrow, I think, to look like an NFL starting quarterback. Now, I've got him ranked at like 20, looking right now, 25 at the quarterback position. So, you know, I'm not saying go start Joe Burrow, but it's a reason to watch tonight. Oh, you want to know the other fun reason to watch tonight?
No, why? I do want to know, but yes, why?
Cleveland cut their kicker, Austin Siebert, after a bad game last week. Cincinnati picked him up. He's got a revenge game in 4 days. That never happens in the NFL. You can't get revenge in 4 days. Revenge game, 4 days. You never get that. I want to see Austin Siebert knock in the game-winning field goal against his own team that just cut him.
I'm just going to pick him up just for that. Revenge game kicking. He's motivated. Charge, he's a motivated kicker.
He is a motivated kicker. And actually, one time he was thought to be one of the most talented young kickers in the league, prospects in the league. So, yeah, there's that too.
Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. I did see your tweet the other day. Are you on board on the PS5? You got the pre-order? Are you good to go?
I couldn't get into a pre-order. I tried. I went to all these sites that, you know, the pre-orders popped up over the last 12 hours. Best Buys, GameStops, Targets. I kept trying to get in, and I got locked out on all of them. So I don't have one right now. But we now know the pricing and the date on the PS5. We've been waiting for a year to get it. We now know it's coming November 12th. They have the full version is $499, so $500. If you want the discless version, so you'd have to all digital download, you can save $100. It's going to be super hot. They've already said that manufacturing due to COVID is going to be down, and it's going to be extremely hard to find for Christmas.
On top of it, some kid's grandma is going to get him a disc copy of a game when he got the discless version. You know it's coming at Christmas.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But
very popular.
Just got to win our Guillotine League, and that's just how I'll pay for the PS5, Charge. That's the plan.
Smart.
I like it. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Paul Charge and GuillotineLeagues.com. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy week two.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
That's Paul Charchi, and he checks in with us each and every Thursday during the football season for some fantasy football advice, and having a lot of fun with the bidding over on GuillotineLeagues.com. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. We go around the NFL.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.